Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Do it, dude.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the episode 305 of the Who Goes There podcast.
This is Jorge. Bueno, ding dong, diddly dies. Yo soy Matty Ding Dongs. And this is CNN.
With the DDD and the VVD.
And the VVD?
With the bell.
And the bell.
Whoa. Whoa. Hey.
Hey.
How you been?
Rhett here.
You know, this is Rhett coming at you. Coming at you.
He's gotten a lot more comfortable at saying his own name.
This is
because we turned the lights off.
Right.
This is Rhett.
Yeah, this is Who Goes There After Dark.
Rhett here.
Rhett here.
Ready. Rhett's available. Here.
Hey Jorge, how you been?
I'm pretty good.
Oh yeah. What are three things you're grateful for today?
I'm grateful for not being at work this week.
That's good.
Pretty
That's
tight.
Good. That's good. Okay. What's another one?
I'm not grateful for spending money on a retaining wall. That's not
No, that wasn't the exercise.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
He's Try grateful that on, he gets on to spend
oh,
time
stay on
with,
talk. I can't.
Spend
I
time
can't,
with me tomorrow can't. Putting up my
right. Like if you were a client, you would go into custody for that right there.
If I was a client?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
No, I'm just going, kidding.
By
just
negging kidding. On one of them?
Yeah. It's like he wasn't paying attention, Your Honor.
Hell yeah.
I asked him to say what he was grateful for, and he
and
said
he gave
what
me
he
one
wasn't
bad thing.
For.
Fuck, he does not paying attention.
Yeah, his attitude. He's ready to commit some crime.
He clearly
I'm sure
cannot follow simple directions.
That's
he's,
right.
He's a moron, Ooh. Basically. So, how you guys been?
Good.
Yeah.
What are you, three things you're grateful for?
I really hate that
question.
D&D. I'm grateful for this show. You know, I'm grateful to come and see you guys. And we can talk about stuff like little monsters.
And yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about how certain things should be left in the past.
Oh,
what?
Or
am I burying the lead at the
beginning?
I think
you might be.
Oh, shit.
Shit.
I'm grateful that tomorrow we see Godzilla versus Schlong in theaters with
King,
some buddies.
King Schlong.
Yep. King Schlong. I'm grateful that I'm seeing Mortal Kombat on Saturday.
I'm just happy to be in the fucking theater again, man. I think I haven't seen a movie in the theater in a year and 4 months.
Wow, you have a lot to look forward to. It's fun. It's still fun. I guarantee it. And then Sunday, we're going to go have a...
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. Hi, Sophia.
We're going to have a little brunch at Tom Hamm's Lighthouse. We've got reservations and Point Loma. And then it's the Oscars later. And I'll be seeing if Nomadland or Minari wins.
Oh, man. Speaking of reservations.
These are great fucking movies.
Holy...
I hope it's neither one.
Shit.
It's not going to be neither one.
I got money on Chicago 7, so...
I like Chicago 7. I love it. That's what I'm saying. That's why I like watching it. I liked Chicago 7. I liked... what was the one with the...
The Black Judas?
No. Oh, that was good. That was fucking good. That, and then the one with the blonde chick.
Promising Young Woman.
Yes. I love that.
None of these are movies that I've seen, by the way.
White. Yeah, thank you. Help me out, though.
Bitch.
Old white bitch.
Old white bitch.
But
it's
not really.
It's a promising young white bitch.
She's actually not an old white bitch. All the men she's dating that are white are old white bitches.
That's true.
Yeah.
For real. Like, for real, for real.
Yeah, they're like Karen incarnate with a dick. And that's very problematic, needless to say.
So they're Kyle.
Because if you thought Karen was a problem, imagine she has a dick and can break your neck. It's going to be tough. Yeah, exactly. Chads are a big deal.
So Ronnie and I, speaking of reservations, Ronnie and I went to this restaurant in San Diego called Born and Raised.
Yeah, you did. He sent me a picture of him peeing.
Is that for the adrenochrome, Born and Raised?
Is that? Whoa! So we spent a little bit of money on dinner.
Yeah.
It's the most we've spent on a single meal in ever.
Was it just you two or do you have the kids?
It was just her and I.
Yeah. That's what happens when you eat that Japanese beef.
Dude, it was. So we had a, we got a sampler.
For real.
Like
most expensive meal I ever spent was Japanese beef.
We got a steak sampler of wet aged beef, dry aged beef, American.
Hey, whether or not you're compelled to do this or not, I don't really, it's your thing, but the fucking documentary is fucking fantastic. And it's pretty fucking astonishing information. And again, it's not about like whether to me, like in this case, oh, the fish feel pain and this, like there's that aspect. The aspect is though, is like anything that's been industrialized, like on a global scale over the last 100 years, like to meet a demand of billions of people is unsurprisingly fucked. And you keep seeing it. I don't know why. It's like first they're like telling me 30 fucking dolphins got killed for four ahi tunas. And it's like, well, what about like the ones with the thing on it? That sticker, that's the boat they're talking about. And then they confront the people and they're like,
you're talking about Sea Shepherd?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, well, we can't really regulate it. So it's like, what's the sticker for? It's like, well, it's to make people more confident in their purchase that it's. So it's just like, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, well, shrimp are fucking bugs. Okay. And then it's like, no, they cast these nets on the fucking bottom of the ocean floor to drag all the fucking coral reef, which is like, well, fuck coral reef. Do I care about coral reef? Well, 80% of the fuck, you should
a little bit.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, fuck those 200 sea tortoises. I don't care about them because I want to eat some fucking cockroaches from the ocean.
Every time Netflix puts out a fucking documentary about food, Rhett's diet shrinks by a little bit more.
It started with
the beef.
No, Earthlings was not a Netflix documentary, and this has been going on a long time. It's just when I felt this way years ago, I was actively smoking and drinking every day, so it was like, yeah, you can't do shit, so you just get to feel like shit. You know,
feel like shit,
which is funny because then I think of
treated like shit.
I think of the path of this show and how it started with like smoke drugs, drink all your body weight in alcohol, kill children, and now it's like, we don't drink and destroying the ocean is bad.
But we still want to kill children, though.
Yeah.
Well, killing the children has not changed.
Well, yeah, if more children were killed, it would actually be better for the ecosystem.
I know, definitely. Right? Well, and then that would solve world hunger.
Let's start with us.
Wait, well, I don't have any kids.
I'm not. No, yeah. Let's kill ourselves.
You're the one who's complicit.
We're children. So let's fucking.
I'm a child at heart.
Let's get yeeted.
I'm old enough, and I have disposable income.
Well,
if you really care about the planet, kill yourself.
Well, antinatalism is like this thing.
Is
where,
the way to go?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's not saying you kill any. If you're alive, it's like okay, you're alive. Let's not waste it. Live your life, but let's all hold hands and die together because we should stop procreating.
True.
And it's like, oh, the best thing we could do
is for drink ourselves the Kool-Aid together,
and for the fucking everything else, but our selfish shit and cheeseburgers and blowjobs. Is two of my favorite things. Exactly. But is it really
a cheeseburger blowjob?
Do we need to destroy the fucking entire universe in the process? You see?
Well, we're not destroying the entire universe.
We could if we could, we would.
Sure.
Right. We're on our way with the whole splitting the atom for defense thing.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, we're on our way.
Hard-on collider and everything.
Give us some shit and we're going.
Did you hear about the new particle that may have been discovered, the muons?
No.
I'll talk to you later about that. It's fascinating.
This isn't the venue for that, huh?
No. It's not.
It's gone too far right now.
Already, we're already talking about, you know.
God damn it. Yeah. No, that being said, what Matt fucking talked about, I mean, I love meat and all that. Yeah, do what you're going to. It's just a personal thing, you know.
Yeah.
I just.
So other than that, how you been, fellas?
You just fucking asked me that.
Yeah.
Just
third time. Third time. It's a charm.
I've been pretty good.
Matt, see anything?
I saw a movie called Evil Ed, which was it was pretty fucking wild. Like it was just absolute absurdity. I text Rhett and told him he needed to watch it because it's everything I think Rhett loves in a movie. It's fucking.
And by that, what do you mean, dude?
It's hella corny. It's got insanely bad acting and dubs in it. It's just over the top everything. You have to see it to fully appreciate it.
I don't think you have a good read on what Rhett likes.
Really? Because I didn't come to him and tell him, Rhett, you need to watch Prayer of the Roller Boys, and then it became one of his favorite movies of all time.
It's fucking... It is brilliant.
The like two movies that I've come to Rhett and said you need to watch, he wound up loving both. I will say,
look, I'm well aware that I'm very particular about, like, I like bad movies, but I don't like all of them. Like, what was the fucking one we did together on the show, Basket Case?
Yeah.
Like you would think based upon me liking other bullshit, I'd like that bullshit. But I was bored out of my fucking mind with Basket
Case. That was pretty bad.
Well, Evil Ed is very fucking goofy. Like very, I wouldn't like come to you like Prayer of the Roller Boys where I'm like, Rhett, you need to watch this. But as I'm watching it, there's just so much like in the movie that I'm like,
For the casual listener, I am aware Basket Case is an objectively better film than Prayer of the Roller Boys, but it's...
I mean, that's debatable.
I don't think so. I think that's what I mean. I think it's competent enough for me not to enjoy it. So
it's just good enough for me to hate its guts.
Yeah, like I'm like, oh no, you're actually kind of doing a good job, but you're not doing good enough. So fuck off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Prayer of the Roller Boys is just like, what the fuck were you thinking?
Nah, dude, they like just thought everything at the same time, and they're like, fuck it, do it.
That's like that Frogtown movie, man. Like it goes so past like lean into.
There's a handful of movies like Frogtown and like Roller Boys where you could just tell that like four or five dudes got together with a mountain of cocaine and they just started spitballing ideas and they were just like, yep, do it. Fuck
four yeah. Or five white nationalists.
They should definitely be wearing trench coats. Yeah, that was probably
that was not probably far a off, thing to be honest.
In Prayer of the Roller Boys. Yeah, I didn't remember how like just over the top racist that movie was.
Well, they were trying to condemn it, dude, but not really. Yeah,
but no, they were really celebrating it, kind of. That was
poor Nine Inch Nails. Like, can you imagine young Trent Reznor in his early 20s, fresh off the success of his debut album, Pretty Hate Machine? They're like, we'd like to you know, put your song in a new movie. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah, what's it about? Please.
It's in a dystopian future with rollerbladers. And he's like in his early 20s. He's like,
fuck yeah. Oh,
that sounds great. Thanks.
And then like, I can imagine Trent Reznor going, oh, that sounds great. Thanks.
Gee, thanks, mister.
Go slam some dope now.
What?
Yep. I mean, well, yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. So, Evil Ed's really the only thing I watched.
Evil Ed.
I've been watching like a shitload of deep dive YouTube videos on King of the Hill.
Okay.
I've been watching like I've actually just been watching a bunch of deep dive YouTube videos.
Same.
And Workaholics. And that's pretty much all I've been doing. I got my irons in a couple fires right now for things that I'm working on that I can't talk about yet. But I am finally getting my surgery, so that's good.
Ugh.
Life will hopefully return.
Life will find a way.
It will. It will find a way. So, yeah. Get all that going in the next couple
weeks.
Did
you hear this guy? I've got my iron in a couple fires that I can't talk about yet.
I do, because there's
what things, does that fucking mean,
it
man?
It means that there's projects that I'm working on.
Oh, my God. I was about to fucking make fun of you and say next he's going to say projects. I swear to God.
There are endeavors, or what?
Don't say project, dude.
What word would you like me to use, right?
You know how many fucking local bands I've known
that
practice twice and they called it a project?
There are endeavors that I'm exploring that I can't talk about at the moment, but...
With the general public.
Every time you jack off in the toilet, it's a project, dude. You
know? I mean... If that's true, it's at least successful at completing projects.
I digress. You really whet my appetite. So at least tell us a little bit. Tell us what's going on.
I mean, aside from horsing around, like there's nothing that I can talk about because there's nothing that's set in stone. But horsing around, we're supposed to start filming at the end of June.
You're working on Christopher Nolan's Howard the Duck.
Yes.
I knew it.
Yes.
Right. And it's going to be a huge spiral dick in that movie.
It's going to be a grounded
It's going to be warts and all. Howard the Duck.
Nice. More realistic approach to Howard.
Yeah, there's not going to be any seduction in this one. He's going to bite the back of her neck, hold her head underwater, and explode into her. That's how Howard the Duck is going.
That's putting it... Yeah. More Binding of Isaac?
That's like my whole fucking life. And like, I send you pictures just because I know you're the only person that's going to appreciate the things that are happening in this game where it's like, yeah, look at this 85 damage, bro. 85. Good. Look at this Ludovico and Brimstone. They just keep throwing Brimstone at me now and I have to take it every fucking time.
Like, at the threat of death, you have to take it.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I got fucking yesterday. I got 2020. And I got the quad shot. Mm-hmm. So it was 8 shots of Brimstone.
How long did your charge take?
With Monstro's lung.
All day.
No, it was quick. It was like 2 seconds.
That's pretty good.
Not too bad. And I mean, I've been playing a little bit of Binding of Isaac, but mostly, or not Binding of Isaac, Dead by Daylight. Mostly Binding of Isaac.
Nice. Same here for gaming.
pretty much it.
How about you, dude? What have you watched?
What games have I been playing, dude?
Just the game, the game of life, bro.
Of life, I have the game of life on my phone if you guys ever want to play it.
Like they the board game?
Yeah, they have it on Discord. Or not on Discord, but on Steam.
They got Monopoly on the phone?
I remember when I was a young child, I thought the game of life was better too because it had a car with pegs you put in it.
And a fucking wheel. They went,
Vring! That game's fucking awful. You might as well be playing Chutes and Ladders with how everything, it's just random. There's nothing, there's nothing else.
It's a little more focused now. And like now you don't have to get married. You don't have to have kids. You can just adopt pets and like, you know, do whatever. And they have same sex marriage.
You can
now
grind your cock off and live by yourself.
Yeah. They have like little, they have little trans pegs in there too. You can get like little, I think it was like little purple pegs.
They're like now the 2021 game of life is like, there is no point. You figure it out. Well, no,
it's just a blank board with a fucking wheel.
There are no goals to work towards.
No, now it's
they're
like
all social constructs.
Now retiring rich and dying rich is only part of it. Now you collect life experience and you have like these life events that you do. Like,
congratulations, you are a drug addict. You picked up 200 points of life experience.
I think you would lose money for that. You would like lose a turn, like $50,000.
You know the real problem with the game of life?
That's not what I tell myself.
Is that the closer they make it to actual life, the more it's like, bro, what are you doing?
I don't want to play this.
I don't want to do this anymore. Well, no, I don't want to play.
But in this one, it's like, oh, you enter a bowling tournament with four of your friends and like the first place gets 250,000 and last place gets 70,000. It's like, okay, if that was like real life, then I'd be very happy. But it's nothing like real life.
It's all true. Bullshit, dude.
I don't know. Maybe we should enter a bowling tournament together.
Also, you don't take anything from your other players, really.
Could you imagine Rhett?
You take money.
I know, Could you imagine Rhett bowling?
I bowled.
I feel like he would just slam the fucking ball down the middle of the fucking thing and just like go.
Let's go.
I'm actually not a horrible bowler.
I feel like it would be like heavy strike action every.
Let's go to punk rock bowling.
Fucking.
We'll do Hadoukens down the lane.
I'll bowl with you guys.
Yeah.
It's been years, but like I'm not. It wasn't that bad. I got the general idea of bowling isn't a particularly athletic sport to me.
It's not athletic, but it is skillful.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't become like the greatest bowler.
It's
but
athletic
I did
enough
hit,
for George to be.
I did hit pins. I even got a couple strikes before.
I don't even know what that means.
I've seen you play softball.
I was okay at softball.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not good.
Did you see this motherfucker swing an axe? Of course he's good at softball.
I did see him swing an axe. Well, that's different.
I was okay at softball. I didn't say I was good. I was okay at softball.
No, you said you were the best Mexican softball player.
For my first like outing at softball, I did okay.
You're Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa, that's right.
He's Sammy Soso.
Sammy Soso. What about you, Rhett? What do you watched?
I watched a
Conspiracy, bro.
Well, I mentioned that fucking thing. Well, also on Netflix,
I'm just gonna survive on oxygen from now on, dude.
I watched Bad Trip.
He doesn't eat anything with a shadow.
With Eric Andre.
Oh yeah, I watched that.
Dude,
what do you think?
Honestly, I mean it's dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
Duh, right? Dude, I think that guy's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff, like the fucking his hand in the blender at the end of that fucking juicer part with the ladies in there. And then like some of that shit was fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like from the very beginning, you're like, wait, is this real or is this a prank show?
And I like that they weave the story in with the pranks.
Yeah.
Even like his flashback sequences, they used footage of like of hidden camera stuff.
But it followed the formula, you know, like the
jackass type deal. And
It followed the Borat and Dumb and Dumber
going
formula.
Across country for a woman.
And then the friends fight and they split and then they get back together. And
right.
Yeah.
But some parts were pretty damn effective, dude. I thought was pretty, it's a good time. It's a good time for like an hour and a half or whatever. I showed Sophia The Martian because she had not seen it. So now we've seen, you know, all the
so good.
The Martian, Interstellar, Gravity, which Jorge loves. I'm not going to argue with about it here. I know you hate it. It's okay.
I can't stand Gravity.
Okay.
And most of Interstellar, to be honest.
Yeah. I know. I figured. But anyway, Murph!
Let's get to the fifth dimension and then we can fucking play piano with the fucking, with the library.
With the...
That's so weird.
You don't get it, bro.
Yeah, you don't understand what it's like to have a child and then go to the fifth dimension in the black hole and be able to communicate with your former self in the past and then warn your child about, fuck you, Murph!
With space dust.
Space dust!
Okay, wait a minute.
I won you over on that, didn't I?
No, you did. Because even when I watched it, it's kind of a bit all over the place, but I think it ties it together well enough.
Sure.
And there's moments of like sheer fucking, honestly,
What'd she think of The Martian?
She loved it.
Of course.
She loved it. And it's an easy movie to love.
Yeah.
Talk about a simple premise.
It's just an
but
easy.
But what they get from that
It's not like a complex movie. And it's not like, an emotionally like.
What they do though with like showing the team working on it back on Earth and like the politics involved and all, they didn't have to go all there. And it's based on a book, supposed to be very good.
Yeah. The audiobook is fantastically narrated. Highly recommend.
You did see who wrote that screenplay though, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Drew Goddard.
What's his name? Yeah.
The guy who fucking did Cabin in the Woods and Daredevil and other good flicks. But I watched Ben Wheatley's new film. Ben Wheatley did Kill List. He did A Field in England. He did a movie called High Rise. But most notably, in my book, it's Kill List. And it's in the Earth. And it was in theaters as a special sneak preview. And in case we're doing an episode on it next month, I'll keep my mouth shut.
Okay, cool.
But it's kind of like The Happening, but not awful.
What?
He's like, what?
No.
No. It uses some, there's certain ideas. I'm like, this is like The Happening, but good.
What?
He's like, what?
No.
Did you watch it?
No.
No.
No. No. Okay. What? No.
No.
Well, no, I've already said too much.
Would I do that? Lie?
Have some great ideas. Yeah. I would be eager to see what both of you thought. And I think, anyway, it doesn't matter what I think. There are some excellent, excellent strobe and psychedelic effects.
Okay.
Regardless if you like the movie or not. If you want to get some strobe psychedelia going on, do it.
Do it.
Dupe.
Dupe it.
It's dupe.
Okay.
That's it. Dupe.
That's it?
And that Seaspiracy shit. Wreck your life.
Right now. I mean, I don't eat seafood anyway, so it wouldn't wreck shit.
Dupe.
Good
for you.
Ronnie and I have continued to watch The Americans.
Actually, we have.
Which is inconsequential to anybody.
We took a little bit of a break on The Americans. We started watching this show called Who Killed Sarah?
Yep, you were talking about that.
Fucking awful show.
Is it?
Terrible.
Oh. So you love it. You're fully in.
Awful, disgusting show.
You're signed up for
and we're almost
10
done.
Seasons.
And we're almost done.
And we're almost done. Yeah, no, it's terrible. I don't recommend it. But like if you like to hate fuck bad shows.
I do like to hate fuck.
86% Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not good. 6. Not worth it.
6 IMDb.
Not worth it. Not good. But what we did enjoy and what we did watch recently was a film called Nobody.
Ooh, oh, yeah. I'm hearing about this.
So here's the thing. In post-John Wick era, I think this type of movie is a little cute now.
Fucking cute. It is one of the John Wick creatives.
Yeah. Involved. So I think the idea of this film is a little cute nowadays, where you have like the everyman who is secretly like a badass in his otherwise normal life. But Bob Odenkirk is a fucking, he knocks it out of the park in this movie.
He's supposed to be a badass,
and he does it well.
Okay,
what I do like about
it's against type. You're supposed to believe him as a washed up suburban fuck job, but he has a.
I love the suburban fuck job.
He's a nobody.
Yeah,
right.
What I do like about the film more so than John Wick, I think that in John Wick, it feels like John's like a bit of a superhero, no matter how injured he gets.
Yeah, he gets that John Cena effect.
Yeah, and Bob Odenkirk as nobody is he feels beaten the fuck up in this movie,
and it's really
good and it's really well done. There are some stuff that they do in the action sequences that I have not seen in an action movie before, which is rare these days. Highly recommend Nobody.
If this is Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Oh, wow.
Who's David Cross and who's Bob Odenkirk?
Oh, my God.
Well, Bob Odenkirk is Bob Odenkirk.
Right.
No. If it's like me and you, which one?
Oh, wait. Shouldn't you be asking me then?
No. Yeah. You're not either one of those guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're saying between you and George, shouldn't you be asking me who's who?
Oh, yeah. Good call. Who's who? See, who would say that on what I just did? Who would say that? See what I'm saying?
I feel like
got him.
You'd be more Bob Odenkirk and he'd be David Cross.
I'm down with that.
I agree.
Yeah. But that's because he's funnier.
Well, yeah, but I could probably make a transition to actual acting.
Oh. That's true.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, David.
I mean, David.
No, Cross, David Cross hasn't really.
Well, he did.
He was arrested.
He was arrested at comedies. Comedy. Yeah. Stick with what you know.
Yeah.
But I think Bob Odenkirk has actual, like,
he's acting solved.
Chops.
He did Breaking Bad.
Yeah. He did Breaking Bad and Nobody, dude.
Yeah, he did Breaking Bad.
I'm glad. See, when I think, every time I see Bob Odenkirk, I'm like, oh, that guy knows Maynard. You know what I'm saying? I remember way back when.
All those guys, like David Posehn, yeah, David Cross.
Jack David, Black.
David Posehn. I mixed up David Cross.
You were way off.
But anywho, yeah, Nobody. Good flick. Highly recommend. News we should get to?
I didn't look at news. I did see a couple trailers, and one of them Matt's gonna love, the new Conjuring movie, the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Mitch sent me that and I was like, no. And he's like, I can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts. And I'm like, God damn it, I know we're gonna have to do that.
Okay, look, I'll just rein it in. Not all of them are The Nun or
Annabelle. Bro, yes, they are. No, every single one of those fucking James Wan universe movies I've seen has been garbage. Granted, La Llorona and The Nun were worse. But The Conjuring is bad. Conjuring 2 is bad.
I don't agree with you. Conjuring 1 through 7 is bad.
Fine. It's not fine.
You said garbage, though. Like, it's Fantasy Island. But like, it's not all the same, dude.
Fine is the best praise that George can muster
for. Nah, you're just being fine.
Well, I think
it's very competently made, dude.
Sinister is also...
I didn't say it was incompetently made. I just said it was garbage.
Well, that would suggest that it's garbage.
It's a highly unenjoyable film.
I know you don't... Dude, I'm not like...
I love The Conjuring.
You are. You're
I don't think anybody
here.
Is.
No, I'm not. Well, I'm just saying here. For a mainstream Hollywood movie, it did a lot for this country.
You still have the remnant of ball sweat.
It did a lot for this country.
It did a lot for this country.
Dude,
people to its views.
In this, they won't watch it.
Yeah, he knows how to make money by fucking putting
that
old
boy. Good.
He's, got
that
new,
good.
He's got a new directing film he's coming out with called Malignant. That's was going to come out last year, and I'm actually kind of curious.
They should have called it The Malignancy to go with the theme.
Let me guess.
They should have called it Les Malignants.
It's got a bunch It's got a bunch of jump scares and unsatisfying ending.
No,
you have an unsatisfying ending.
That's Friday the 13th you're thinking of. The jump scares and it's satisfying.
The ending is very satisfying. When Jason comes out of the water, shit's tight.
I fucked up on that one.
It is.
And the lake, it's all surreal and dreamy. That part's good.
Hell yeah.
That part is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Theaters are opening up.
Hey, you want to hear about Dead by Daylight? Because I'm going to tell you about Dead by Daylight. Resident Evil is coming to Dead by Daylight. Nobody cares about the K-pop anymore, so they fucking just threw Resident Evil in there. But it's the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, I mean, a K-pop character can only...
So, question.
Yes.
Who's the killer and who's the survivor?
On Resident Evil?
Yeah.
Well, you got to have. I guess Leon would be a good survivor.
Leon, motherfucking Kennedy.
None of it's announced, so I would think
either Nemesis.
Nemesis would
be a good one, or
Jill.
Jill. what do you think?
I loved using Jill on Marvel vs. Capcom. That slide she has, fuck you.
So
up.
My initial thought was Mr. X.
That would be the way to go.
Fuck him.
But now...
Who's that fuck with the sunglasses?
With the sunglasses?
Yeah, the big wig, the head of Umbrella Corporation.
Oh, Albert Wesker.
Yeah, fuck Wesker ass.
Yeah, fuck Wesker.
Yeah.
So here's the thing with... Because Nemesis, he's just very he's like relentless. He just follows you like nonstop and just beats the shit out of you. But like, that doesn't work in Dead by Daylight. And this is all coming off of one of these fucking deep dive videos I was watching, because like everything in Dead by Daylight is the realm literally feeds off of like emotion and feeling, and the creatures in Resident Evil are devoid of that. They're just slabs of meat. They're bullet sponges that serve a single purpose. Mr. X's purpose was just to get the T virus sample from Sherry, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. So none of those really work in Dead by Daylight. But the one that does work is the people from Resident Evil 7.
Oh, like a group of people.
Like any of them, because they're all actual people with actual motivation.
Has there been any killers in Dead by Daylight that have been like a, like you control like a small group of people?
Yes and no. So when you play as Legion is technically four people. It's kind of, they do like this multiple personality thing. You can switch. However, there is the twins, which is the old Russian lady with like the Kawato conjoined twin that can be released.
Oh, like a little.
So yeah, he looks like a little fucking ghoulie and he pops out, and then you can have like the Russian lady stay in one place and then go send off Victor. You know, Victor and Charlotte, and like, yeah. So that's the closest thing. But
or maybe that 9 foot tall bitch from
So they were talking about her because it really has to be somebody that's human, because then they have actual motivations and like feelings and desires. If you're just doing like somebody like Nemesis, or even though like William Birkin, who wound up becoming Nemesis or you know Tyrant. He was a human at first, but once he became that creature.
What about Alice, dude?
Who? Alice?
Yeah,
dude. Well, Alice is from the movies, and that's not what we're talking about here.
So, dude.
And Alice is a one-dimensional character.
Look, bro, can we just have the laser wall be a fucking killer?
Yeah, dude. What about when the guy gets cubed, dude?
Can we just pick a month and do every Resident Evil movie?
What about...
Oh, you just...
Speaking of which... We're supposed to watch fucking Species 1 and 2 and deep dive into Trapped's discography.
Yeah.
I didn't get to work this week. We got to get to work with the Trapped.
Look, if fucking Cal just has to draw Resident Evil for fucking 8 episodes.
He's so down.
I'm in.
He is so in love with the idea of doing episodic art. Speaking of Cal, in case you haven't noticed on Instagram, we've had some really cool artwork for our episodes lately. And it's done by our longtime homie Cal G. Check him out on Instagram at TheCalGEE or TheCalG.com, and buy some of his shit because he's super tight and he's going to be doing artwork for all of our upcoming episodes.
It is really thank you, Cal.
Yeah. He's so cool. And like, he loves doing this shit. And I always feel like we're not doing nearly enough for him. And he's just always happy to just do anything. I have any dumb fucking idea and he's like, I'll get right on it.
If that you get really desperate and lonely, call me, dude.
Yeah, he's a Canadian cutie. And he hosts a podcast, Pens and Pixels.
That boy, cute.
Yeah,
damn,
he's got that quaff.
He's hot on top of this.
Yeah, talented, humble, kind. Cal G is the total package.
Wow. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and come back and talk about a movie. All right, idiots, we'll be right back. Just push record after that.
Yeah, how about your bitch tits?
Push it.
Push it real good.
Oh, boy. Gentlemen. Hey, Matthew.
Sorry.
Tell us about the Patreon.
Can you guess what time it is?
It's 10:04.
It's time to tell them about the fucking Patreon, huh, me?
Oh, snap. Hey, buddy. Do you like that fucking ad you heard at the beginning of the show?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'm betting you didn't either, you fucking goof. And you want to know how you get rid of it? Go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast because you get ad-free listening. We don't like them, but hey, the fucking man puts them on there and there's really nothing we can do about it. But
fucking man,
go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. Not only do you get ad-free listening, you get exclusive content, bonus episodes, all that other fun stuff, and you get to help us keep doing this show and putting the money back into the community. We pay fucking Cal to do the art for us. We sponsor the Telluride Horror Show every year. We're
sponsoring the movie theater conglomerate to keep running.
Yeah, we're renting a theater just for Patreon to watch Godzilla vs. Kong. Like, we do these things, and eventually we have to repair fucking stuff to keep the show running. So help us do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched 1989's Little Monsters, directed by Richard Greenberg, written by Terry Rossio and Ted Elliott, starring Fred Savage, Howie Mandel, Daniel Stern, Margaret Whitten, Rick Ducamon. Ducamon.
Dude, this is what dude, he does.
Come on.
Dude, come on. Frank Whaley as Boy. Ben Savage.
Parker Lewis is Frank Whaley. That's the one.
William Murray Weiss. Ben Savage, who was also, what's his name from Boy Meets World?
Corey Matthews.
Devin Rattray, Amber Barreto, and a bunch of other
fucks motherfuckers. You've never heard of.
Hey, Rhett.
Yeah.
Just think of Little Monsters, dude. I kind of have a feeling I know what you thought.
Nope. This movie belongs in the far reaches of your memory as a child, and you shouldn't watch it.
So then,
as
exactly an adult. What I thought.
Yeah, it's the thing is about this movie. It has some very good ideas that were borrowed and expanded upon later with Monsters Inc.
This is like shitty Beetlejuice,
and it's kind of like Christopher Nolan's Little Monsters. Like, there's this interdimensional thing, and they go under beds and pop up all over the country, and they come out of some dude's ass on the beach at the end, and like, which is, it's like, that doesn't count as under a bed just because he's asleep. Like,
I mean, what constitutes a bed, dude?
Exactly. Well, that's where you hang
your hat, dude.
Yeah,
and then. God, I don't know when to get to this stuff. But yeah, dude, it just blows my mind, though. This is definitely one of those gateway horror movies, though. Like, it's gateway horror because there is some unpleasant stuff in this movie. You know, I'm not saying it's good, but it's like, there's that angel baby thing that's all creepy looking, and there's fucking those other, you know what I'm talking about? It's a statue.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, the production design in this, what the fuck were you going for? Did you you had like some palettes from Vons or something, and you just kept like stacking them and arranging them in weird ass configurations, and it's like they're all about wood in the Monster Kingdom, and then they're like, this doesn't look magical, so what if we like
just fucking had fairies flying around,
have this purple fucking 6-bit thing go every now and then. Like, because you can see, like, the grains of squares, you know? Or 8-bit,
hey,
right?
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
What do you think of Little Monsters, dude?
Bro, who the fuck hurt you? For real. What is wrong with you? Dude, I'm guessing
awful.
I'm guessing you're on team What's a Fucking Childhood. Jesus Christ.
It's fucking awful. Yeah. It's like 2 hours.
This movie's a fucking delight, dude. I thought I was going to hate this movie again watching it as an adult. Not only did I love this movie so much, I will love this movie so much that I went and watched The Wizard because of it. Yeah,
dude,
fucking did that.
All right, it's but like 2 hours of fucking.
It's an hour and 40 minutes.
Well, it feels like 2 hours.
No, it's
screeching
doesn't.
On a chalkboard, dude.
It flew by. I'm not even doing a bit right now. It fucking flew by for me. I remembered every single beat. Oddly enough, I remembered everything of this movie with the exception of Boy. I didn't remember Boy like at all. I just remembered, what's his name? Stink being the fucking big mean guy.
Well, it's kind of a big deal, but to not remember.
Yeah, but he's so inconsequential in like everything.
He shouldn't be inconsequential. He's the big bad of the movie.
It doesn't matter because like you get caught up in like just the magic of the underworld. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good introduction. It's such a good introduction of horror. Dude, okay, see, you bring up the palettes, but it's like, what would you do when you're a kid? You're not going to have a fucking mansion. What are you going to do? You're going to get the supplies that you can find, and you're going to build a fort with your friends.
You didn't build that place.
Huh? I know you didn't build that place.
The kid didn't build that place.
But kids
shitty production
as a collection built that place. And it's supposed to be reminiscent of what kids would do if they were given the place to build their or given the opportunity.
Build fucking weird ass deconstructive. Dude,
they would build a fucking fort, and they would build a fort with what's available, which would be like pallets and wood and blankets.
Well, if it were kids. Like oh, hold on. Okay, so
what?
This is one of the built shit.
Okay?
This is one of the few times that I like Wonder Twin activate with one of the co-hosts on the show, and hey, Rhett.
Yeah,
Wonder Twin powers.
Yeah,
activate. This movie fucking sucks,
it's
dude.
Nah, awful.
This movie.
I would never even consider showing this to your kids.
Let's really. Okay, so let's fucking
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even going to gripe about all of this like set design bullshit because both of y'all are fucking dumb. What I'm going to tell you is fuck the underground. Fuck the monster world. This movie fucking sucks.
Oh, the human beings? Those are good. Those are great. Yeah.
Bro, all the shit with Daniel Stern fucking sucks. All of that shit.
We need to talk about that tickling scene.
We need to talk about how the whole film is about adrenochrome. It's all like a fucking
parallel narrative
about fucking child trafficking. Like that's all this film is. I made that joke while I was watching it on Discord. And then I was like watching, I'm like, oh, here it is. They got Fred Savage like putting his like fucking leg under his butt and like sitting on the bed and Daniel Stern's coming up to him with the tickling. I'm like, no. Don't do this.
And it said that that
don't
was...
Don't fucking do this
It said
part.
That that was like improv and that like...
I bet it was.
Fred Savage's reactions were like genuine. I'm like, that felt like they were fucking each other.
He
like,
smacks him twice on his leg loudly.
Hence, this movie is not a delight. Dude,
no. Okay. With the exception of that little...
Of every
pedophilia
every other second.
Feeling... bit. No, see, and I don't get how you guys are so hard on this movie because like
I'll be honest with you, I even had a and this should not be happening, I had a hard time even following this movie. like what is happening? Why is this so needlessly complicated?
Dude, like, needlessly complicated. Dude, oh my god!
Who is the boy? Who is boy? Who is he?
Okay, so they don't explain who boy is. He's just some dude.
Matt, that's a fucking problem, dude.
It's a big problem. Yeah, and okay, so here and also like, what's the purpose of the monsters? Right?
What do they want?
What do they want?
They just want to have fun. So they're based. To me, it felt like fucking Peter Pan. You know, where they go to Never Never Land and they're like, we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want. But then eventually they turn into like donkey children. Wait, no, am I thinking of Dumbo?
That's Pinocchio, homie.
Pinocchio. Okay, yeah. I mean,
I get the theme of like little boys or little monsters and it's their imagination to destroy shit they like to stay up late.
Where the monsters come from, it's kids wanting to do like just kid things. Divorce. And the longer they're here, it just wears on them, you know? It's like you go into fucking Chernobyl and you're normal, but then you come out of Chernobyl,
no point in the movie do they establish that like they're out there hunting children. They just want to fuck with kids.
Yeah, they're basically like mischief people.
So then at what point does it become like we're recruiting kids to become part of the monster world and also to build palette kingdoms?
Yeah,
like it's a weird transition. Where they said
that there was something special about Fred Savage. Like when Fred Savage went down there on his own.
Well, yeah, he's on the Order years. It's special.
I watched every episode of that. That's good.
Now, speaking of which, I need to make this connection.
Would you stand up and walk out on me?
All right, the bully kid in this.
Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key.
You can go ahead.
Have a little help for my friend.
I always prefer.
You are so beautiful to me. Okay, sorry. Continue.
Joe Cocker, man. That guy was drinking a lot of booze, wasn't he?
So, a lot of coke.
Fuck. What the fuck were we saying?
I don't know.
You were going to comment on...
The movie sucks.
The Wonder Years.
Oh. So let me make these connections here. I'm watching this. This is hard on Collider shit. This is all connected.
This is 6 degrees of seven. This is seven bacon.
Seven bacon.
6 degrees of fucking dick suck. And like, check this out, dude.
Like, he's like, there's one. Is that a beef? Good.
So. Fred Savage is on a show called The Wonder Years. Who? If I may ask you, is the adult voice of that character on The Wonder Years? Daniel Stern, who plays the father in this movie. Mm-hmm. Daniel Stern is in another, this is 89, he's in an early 90s family film that everyone knows called
Home Alone.
Home Alone. Who else is in Home Alone? There's a bully kid in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Buzz in said movie.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yep. It's too much. The connections are looming. It's like Wayfarer made a movie.
can we have Beetlejuice? Yeah, we got Beetlejuice at home, and then you fucking have little monsters.
And you know, they name the bully's name Ronnie Coleman. That's amazing.
What? Why is that amazing?
Lightweight, baby! What? Lightweight Bernie!
Fuck. Just act like you know what he's talking about.
You know Ronnie Coleman?
What are you talking
about? I want him to stop yelling.
Everybody want to be a bodybuilder. Nobody want to lift these heavy ass weights.
What are you talking
about? Act like you know what he's talking about. It will stop. Fuck you, Ronnie. I got you, bro. That was good,
Ronnie
bro.
Ronnie Coleman. He's one of the most famous bodybuilders of all time.
Ronnie Coleman, baby!
Yeah, yeah.
Lightweight, baby!
Yeah, you fucking yell and it makes the fucking weight lighter. Lightweight, baby!
Yeah, man, yeah.
Oh, shit, man!
Hell yeah.
Ronnie Coleman!
Hell yeah! Baby! No, so, hold on. Wait, you were saying something about kids and the fucking
adrenochrome
thing and the monsters.
Yeah, yes, I was. Because the trap that we fall into is that the fact that all of the monsters in the monster world are kids
eventually not eventually
so
but
then
like they
were. What's the recruiting process? Do they like we're just gonna
no, it's just bro, come have fun, and the longer you're here, you'll turn into a fucking donkey.
Yeah, but they also just fuck with kids while they're sleeping.
Well, yeah, because like apparently,
so which is it?
You need the special juju. Like, you need the shin to be able to fucking be one of them. Like, Fred Savage, they didn't want...
It's basically like Nightbreed for children, but it sucks.
Yeah, they didn't want Ronnie Coleman. They didn't want fucking...
Literally, I was watching, I'm like, it's kind of like they turn into Nightbreed, but they suck.
Yeah, they didn't want Ben Savage. They only wanted Fred Savage, and it's because he had the fucking shin. Like, he came down there all on his own, and Maurice is like, oh, there's something special about you. And he goes, oh, you pulled me down. And he goes, no, well, I mean, maybe, but, like, it was a lot easier, I'll tell you that much. Like, so he's got, like, some, that je ne sais quoi that they like.
And, oh, I'm
like,
sorry, what?
Je ne sais quoi. Yeah,
there you go.
I can't pronounce English, but I can pronounce certain French phrases.
You are definitely an outlier.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But, is it je ne sais quoi?
I don't know.
Je ne sais quoi.
It's Juno. This Juno. Wow.
Juno jack shit.
No, and we haven't even gotten to it yet.
Right? To the tickle scene, bro. It's fucking.
Well, the tickle scene is in and of itself is a fucking is a.
There's some child.
There's fucking. Also a third child in this with glasses.
Glasses.
My glasses. And he wears a beret. He's like a very, communist at one time.
He's very smart.
He's very smart. He's very autistic. He reminded me of myself. He makes some horrible faces. I see
a lot of myself in this young man.
He has a lot of like really like not good acting and social fucking awkwardness, and he overreacts to things that happen. He's like, ah! And I'm like, that's me. That's me in the morning. That's me when I wake up.
Oh shit,
up.
Is that boy?
That's me in the morning.
That's me in the morning. Wait, no. I'm not going.
We haven't even talked about fucking Howie Mandel yet.
Dude, Howie Mandel was like... perfect
awful.
For this role.
Everything he tried failed. Every
what
single
do you mean
thing
failed.
At no
it,
point
I
was
thought
he
it worked perfect.
Hey like, bud. Hey bud.
That's bro. Very late 80s, early 90s.
Dude.
Have you seen Howie Mandel's stand-up? Like Howie Mandel is being Howie Mandel.
That's, so that's not good.
Howie face. Mandel's stand-up is unfortunate.
So that's not good.
It's
I know,
entertaining. It's
I know entertaining. We like Gizmo, so we're supposed to act like Howie Mandel is good at something else.
Wait, is Howie Mandel Gizmo?
I'm sorry, yes. What?
Howie Mandel is the voice of Gizmo?
Shut the fuck
Andy's
up.
Andy's Bobby's World.
Oh, I knew Bobby's World, but fuck Gizmo?
That's why Bobby has the same voice as Gizmo.
Wait, what?
What?
Gizmo, yeah, I'm Bobby.
That's fucking high. What? That's fucking Howie Mandel.
That's amazing. Oh, I didn't know that.
Do that again.
No.
Wow, it is Howie Mandel. Holy shit. He was also Skeeter from the Muppet Babies. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's what he should do.
Stick to that.
Bro, no, this was good.
Or be on some fucking horrible
how can we watch
judging
Bobby's
show
World?
With earrings
how
on.
Can we watch Bobby's World?
Yeah.
I'm sure we can buy it from somewhere.
Damn.
I'm sure you could go on
Bobby's
YouTube.
Bobby's World is a fucking great show, man.
Yeah, don't you
show.
Know?
It's a much better show than movie than this is movie.
Like, yeah.
I don't know, man.
See,
and maybe it's because I saw this when I was a kid, but like even watching it now, I didn't even feel like it was the nostalgia because going into it, I was really worried. Like, I'm gonna watch.
So then, what is it?
Adult. I don't know. Like it to me, we've talked about doing like theme months where we do or a theme episode on. Like PG or PG-13 horror.
Yeah.
And I think this is like a perfect introduction because
this is gateway horror, like I said.
The monsters are like goofy and some of them are cute, but they're also scary enough to like,
they're also shitty,
but okay. But this is also 1989.
No, they're poorly.
What's the budget on this? Do we have any idea what the budget is?
Dude, we just watched Nightbreed.
Budget $7 million, box office $793,000.
Good.
You know what this shit reminds me of, dude? So this is a year after Beetlejuice and a year after Big.
Thank you, Beetlejuice.
So it's like they crammed the two together.
I felt like they were like, well, okay, like okay, we've got this like outlandish character of on Beetlejuice. Paper,
it's not a bad idea.
And we've got like okay, like we've got Tom Hanks and fucking and Big, and how can we smoosh these two fucking movies together?
Absolutely.
And it's like none of the things that were happening in this film that they were aping from Big or Beetlejuice were effective in any capacity.
Look, the movie is very, very in my estimate. Look, because again, some of these ideas, like
Beetlejuice meets Lord of the Flies.
The premise is not bad. And it's also extremely potentially marketable. I get that.
Well, Pixar did it perfectly.
In fact, it was so good that yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Now, but the execution here, this director, when you look this up, I can't find anything else he ever did. Like, it doesn't pop up in blue on Wikipedia or anything, you know what I mean?
Dude, Richard Allen Greenberg.
If there was some, but I looked up these writers, I'll get to that. But, like, he fucking, if there was a good screenplay here, or if this could be executed well, it didn't happen here. Even, like, the lighting, like, it's I'm not complaining it's dark like a Tim Burton movie.
He also did the visual effects for Predator.
That doesn't mean anything, though.
No, he can't direct people in conversations.
Yeah.
What's he directed?
Like, he has to direct.
He directed one episode of Tales from the Crypt, and he directed a documentary called The Process.
So that's about right.
So suck him. Now, check out these writers, though, and this is fucking, this is mind-boggling, right? Terry Rossio and Ted Elia are writing partners. So, 1989, they do Little Monsters. 1992, they do a movie called Aladdin.
Whoa.
Terry Rossio sounds familiar.
Right. They did Aladdin, and then they wrote The Puppet Masters. Then they wrote uncredited work, ghostwriting for Men in Black. Then Mask of Zorro. Then Godzilla, the 1998 disaster.
Oh, Matthew Broderick one?
Yeah. You know what, dude? I unironically enjoy that version of Godzilla because it's like it's just a T-Rex.
Ooh, wow.
Like there's nothing like Godzilla about that fucking Godzilla.
The others, dude, I'm looking at their IMDb. The other shit they've written,
They did Shrek. They did Treasure Planet.
Mask of Zorro.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Road to El Dorado.
They did fucking Godzilla versus Kong.
Exactly. And now that's what I wanted to get to. And that's what we're doing next week. And we picked this by chance.
And now I know that there's a Johnny Quest movie that's in pre-production.
Right. So again, what this points to, these guys had ideas. This was their first work. They had ideas. This movie's poorly fucking executed, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had some fucking ideas. And ideas that were so good, they were fucking aped by fucking Pixar. And later on, these guys made fucking Aladdin. They made several franchises.
Yeah. I mean, the deal is that I think that, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how this movie happens. So it's coming out on the heels of Beetlejuice. It's coming out on the heels of Big. And when did Wizard?
89 or 90. It was same like, year as Mario 3.
Yeah. No, so I think it was like 90.
So yeah, this feels almost like Hard on Collider shit where you're like, there's too much fucking synchronicity happening, dude.
Oh, like, it's kind of like our Stephen King shirt.
Well, dude, there is a parallel universe where this is a fantastic 80s fucking movie.
It's this universe, right? It's this one.
Nah, dude.
I bet if Chris is listening right now, he would be like, he would want to shoot me in red face.
I love how people, because it was so successful and it's been overexposed, people love to talk shit about something like E.T. Like, they love to talk shit about it.
Who talks shit about E.T.?
I know a lot of fucking people our age, especially horror people, that will talk shit about it.
I know a lot of fucking people.
All right now.
Talk shit about E.T.
And they'll fucking defend this piece of shit just because it didn't get, like, universal fucking love.
You just got Ben Shapiro on us right now about E.T.
Speaking of Ben Shapiro, Fred Savage sounds like a fucking, like, Jewish store owner from the Bronx in this movie several times.
Well, that's basically what
like,
he is.
This is what I got coming for ya. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, dude, when he does his fucking Julia Child's impression when they're doing
it. Dude, it's so weird. Weird. It was weird. Bro, because what good. Child?
Okay, so here's
my
fucking kid in elementary school drops a Julia Childs reference? Dude, it's crazy.
Okay, so this is where I have this like, I don't know where to go with my thinking, because part of me thinks that they told Fred Savage, hey, look, Howie Mandel, he's just kind of like a fucking weird guy. He's probably just going to kind of go all over the place. Just try to like keep up, bounce with off him, with you him. Know, try to just play off of him.
Well, of course, that's what they were going for. It was awful.
And but so that's where I feel like the Julia Childs thing came in, because I don't feel
hello.
I don't feel like somebody wrote that into the script for Fred Savage. No, I feel like Fred Savage probably be 89. He's probably like 15 in this. Like he probably
15.
How old is Fred Savage?
No, dude, he was a preteen.
Hold on,
maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah, no, he was a fucking preteen in this movie.
How old is fucking Fred Savage?
Who fucking knows, dude? Who knows?
Who fucking knows? George is fucking super 76. So he was 13 in this movie. Fuck.
There you go.
Still.
Well, it's not like fucking everyone was way off or something, right?
No.
You said 11 or 12. You said 15. He's in the middle.
We're going to meet in the middle.
Yeah, that's right in the middle. So
neither of us were that off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
We would have won, though, if it was Price is Right.
I feel like.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because I went over.
Way fucking over.
I feel like what? I would have. I feel this. I don't know.
I really think I'll, so you know, the late 80s to early 90s, I think. So it's dealing with some heavy subjects. It's dealing with, like, you know.
Right. It's trying to do the narrative about divorce.
Divorce and, you know.
Bro, not only that, they took it there with basically saying the mom wanted the dick and wasn't getting it.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, and also you've got this narrative of like, well, what do you want from me? I'm working all the time. You're not working. Like, what are we doing in this marriage? And you've got this divorce scenario. And then also, weirdly enough, you've got this sort of thing where the kids are like, well, what about my friends? And what am I gonna do with all my friends? And it's like
pointless.
They have best friends. The day that they go to school. What the fuck are we talking about?
Here's my big thing too, also. Why it really fails as a fucking, to me, as a kid's movie, besides like that I couldn't even follow it, and that's a problem, right? If you're 40 and you can't follow a kid's movie, whoa. But like, so the movie, it's incoherent.
I'll explain it to you.
I wanted to ask you to do that like you did the last time. Yeah, explain to me who the boy is, and we'll be off to a good start.
Okay, so boy we don't know.
Okay, wait. Okay, yeah, okay. You're on to something.
Here. I am on to something. At the end of the movie, they call the parents, and we're in California, right? And all that good stuff, right? What lessons have been learned? What has been resolved? What moral of the story is here? What character development has occurred? What growth in Fred Savage has occurred? And also, he starts out like a little prick, basically.
And he's still a prick.
And he's still a prick. He throws his friend's fucking thing out the bus. Also, the guy, he says,
his brother.
This monster says, if the fucking sun comes out, I'll die. He's all, no, you trash my bike. Like, so personal property is more important to him than fucking life.
Yeah.
So that's some fucking hardcore, like, nice capitalist propaganda right there. And then fucking, it's like, dude, nothing has been learned. Nothing has fucking, no one has grown. The only thing is the woman's going to go get some dick sometime.
Sometimes that's life, is that nobody learns a lesson.
They teleport across the country. They'll probably get raped and murdered for nothing.
I mean, it is the late 90s, so yeah, the early 90s.
It is Malibu, of all places.
They come out of a homeless, inebriate's fucking ass on the beach. It's just like, you know, it's all over. It's in your face, man. You know what they're trying to say, and it's not cool, dude. I'm not down with what they're trying to say about child trafficking and that they're going to be all over the country, and they got little secret places to put them, and and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, they're showing all the different major cities.
You browse a catalog online.
Yeah, man.
Pretend you're buying furniture.
No, but seriously, though. You get what I'm saying, though.
QAnon is a thing.
There's no lesson that's been learned. Like, there's no moral to the story. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah, so occurred. Like, so Fred, so Fred Savage's character.
And, like, facing your fears. And,
but
like,
but
well, Goonies. Let's watch Goonies. Let's watch The Explorers.
You want to talk about a piece of shit. Goonies sucks, dude. Goonies is a piece of shit.
It is not a piece of shit. I don't love, like, Goonies.
I feel the way about Goonies that you're, times better that you're than talking about little monsters. That's
you know what?
Explorers is better than,
you know what's
movie.
Gonna fucking blow your
I don't
mind?
Know what that is.
You know what's gonna blow your mind? I fucking hate Goonies too.
Good.
So fuck on that.
But which one is better executed?
Oh, Goonies.
Like, let's get fucking serious.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Dude,
They have like a boat and a cave. This has pallets. Like, like it can't. They have Baby Ruth. They have dumb shit that
yeah, dude. You know? I just don't like none of the contrivances that this movie is like attempting to be like, this is really impactful. It's like, well, Fred Savage starts off a little dickhead and ends the movie a bigger dickhead.
Yeah, he's one of the worst child protagonists I've ever seen in a children's movie.
I see it completely the opposite way.
Like, I wish Daniel Stern would have fucking beat his ass.
He starts off as a child whose parents are going through a divorce, even though they say they're not going through a divorce. He's being blamed for a lot of things he doesn't do. He feels resentful of his home situation. He just wants
to
escape.
Well, they try to show that kid thinks it's their fault.
He finds a place where he can go and he can be appreciated for who he is.
Back that up. He's not being blamed for things he didn't do.
He's absolutely being blamed for things he didn't do.
He feels responsible.
Hold your horses. He has been being a shithead up to this point.
Still being blamed for things he didn't do.
No. They moved to a house that just so happens to have a monster, but he has a history of being a shithead.
Does he? How is the history been?
Why would his dad instantly go to, you're bullshitting about this again, you dumb fuck?
Because his dad's a fucking asshole.
They're all awful people. Okay. That's the point.
Apple has not fallen far from the tree.
They can all be awful people. But the point is, this kid is 13. He's going through puberty. He's got a lot of shit going on in his head anyway. His family's going through a divorce. He's being blamed for shit he didn't do. But he was a shithead
before the divorce.
Who wasn't at 13?
Look, if the people are awful, if the monsters are awful, if the sets are awful, if the dialogue's awful, the movie's fucking awful, dude.
You say
the room, Brett.
You say
it's hilarious.
But then your argument's fucking invalid.
No, it's not.
Because you're like, if the acting is bad and the sets are bad and the this is bad. No, well, all of those things are bad in the room, but it's still one of your favorite movies.
No, yeah, because it's played straight. No. It's not played to be like
This is played straight as fuck.
This is played as a lighthearted children's gateway horror film,
which it is.
It's so not straight. No, actually,
what's interesting about this is that Rhett mentioned this earlier, and then he kind of like skipped away from it. So when we talk about,
I never
like,
do that.
You kind of skip. I've seen you skip once, and it was disappointing to me. I'll tell
really?
You.
Really? Yeah. I'm fucking good at skipping.
Yeah, you are. And I've We talk about like children's movies that.
I think skipping is underrated. You could actually move very fast skipping.
You can.
It's true.
Cover a lot of ground.
We talk about like children's horror movies that are like gateway to blah, 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 blah. Well, so the problem with this movie is that it's like, it's not a very good gateway film for kids that, you know, want to be into horror. And it's also not a very good
Beetlejuice.
Hold the fuck on. Before you fucking blah.
You already mentioned Beetlejuice.
It's also not a very good film as an adult to watch with your kids because you're like, what the fuck? Where are the actual jokes? Where's the adult content other than Daniel Stern being like, you're a shithead. Ugh. And it's like, I can't.
That's Jorge.
Nah. So
me with my kids.
I disagree with you on both points because you say.
Damn.
Dude. One.
I will love to deconstruct this.
I think for children, Beetlejuice might be a little too scary for some children. First point, you say you don't think it's a good introduction to gateway horror. As I was saying before, the monsters are cute enough to be appealing to young children, but some of them are also scary enough to be truly terrifying. The guy, the big fucking guy with no neck, whose hairline moves every time he talks. Like, he's scary for kids. Boy is fucking scary for kids with that weird opening on the back of his head when he gets all blasted and turns into essentially a critter. That's terrifying stuff
for
kids.
When they have the planes, like, on stilts coming from the ceiling, that's scary for kids.
Yeah. The planes on stilts. I thought you meant the guy sitting up there with the really long legs.
Jack-in-the-boxes opening. That were like leftovers from another movie.
Yeah, dude. Like those things were scary for kids. Like you saw Jack in the Boxes in fucking Are You Afraid of the Dark? You saw Jack in the Boxes in like Scary Stories.
I was kidding.
These are like horror tropes for kids' horror movies. These are all things that are just scary things for kids. And then, you know, like you have the little fun parts where it's like Peter Pan and it's like Dumbo or Pinocchio and all that shit where they get to just do whatever they want. It's kids being kids. So you get the freedom, but then there's like the little bit of trouble and you get to get your fucking comeuppance on the bully and you get the girl. No,
but the bully joins them.
See, and I'm still unclear as to how that happened.
Right, like, because they didn't show how it happened.
I've watched it twice in the last 2 days, and I'm like, where the fuck did the bully even come into?
You talk about all these like
missing scenes.
You talk about all these tropes that it like pays off with, and none of the things that you're saying it pays off with pays off with. Because you're like, oh, the bully. It's like, no, the bully is part of the team.
No, but you get your comeuppance on the bully. And like, I don't know why he
wanted. Do you, though?
Well, yeah, because he ate the fucking cat food sandwich and drank piss.
Yeah, but Fred Savage is a shit kid. Have you ever had somebody
drink your own piss involuntarily? It's fucking hilarious. It's real funny.
That's sexual assault, brother.
That was also.
I peed in a beer and he drank the beer.
That was also really gross that this grown man was pissing in a bottle next to him.
He's not a grown man. He's a monster.
Whatever. All of the shit. Monster all of it cock. Just is like, nope.
He's got a monster cock. Dude,
he turned away from him.
I don't
He's
give
no
a fuck.
Daniel Stern, okay?
And it's also like, why is this guy fucking. Oh, and then puzzling things. Like, his at one point. His plastic, shitty-looking prosthetic horn starts fucking dangling off. And then they leave it the rest of the movie instead of just like, hey, rip it off and make it so he cracked his horn. They just leave it there.
Yeah, because like, you know how much it probably hurts to fucking take that thing off?
No, what are you talking? Matt.
Yeah, if you broke your finger and your finger's hanging there by a...
Your finger's hanging by skin.
Are you just going to cut the rest of your finger off?
Or are
you going to go in there and be like, hey, reattach my finger?
What you said about the room. Look, the movie is awful and it's bizarre and it could be funny, but it was unpleasant. And it was just fucking like fingernails on a chalkboard for an hour and 40 minutes.
Here, Matt, explain to me this. How does Howie Mandel get horns?
How does Howie Mandel get horns?
He gets exposed to
the light. No.
He gets exposed to the light.
Why?
Why?
Why does that make him have horns?
Why not? They're allergic to fucking light.
Because they're implying that all the animals here are descendants of the monsters.
So you're telling me that the sunlight makes the monsters more monstery?
I actually looked. You know what? I read into that.
It's like cancer.
And that would be
in the sun for too long, it starts to affect your skins and then cancer or your cells and then cancer forms and it affects your cells and your skin.
So
it's the same thing.
So
monster cancer.
Okay, so monster cancer. Why would they care?
Why would who care?
Why would the monsters give a fuck if they got horns, you motherfucker? That's what I'm asking you.
He's sitting there and he's like, you know, and fucking it.
Wouldn't that be more dope as a fucking monster?
He doesn't love the fucking horns growing out of his head.
What? He's like, his moment is like, oh, they'll never recognize me down in the underworld. It's like, you dumb fuck, you're a monster. Of course you want horns.
I mean, do you? Like, what if it hurts?
He's a fucking monster, you dipshit.
He's a monster with feelings and a heart of gold. Did you even watch the movie?
Wait a minute.
Did you not see that he has feelings and things hurt?
Hold up. I actually read some deep esoteric shit into it. Like, I'm like, are they trying to say that all the beasts of the earth, like with horns, are descendants from monsters?
Of course they are.
Right? You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was like,
from
whoa,
the great beast.
You're trying to tell me more esoteric shit here, you know? But probably not.
No.
It was probably just
maybe
retarded.
That's the problem is that you went in wanting esoteric shit and maybe it's just a kid's
I was
movie.
Just saying where wait, I
wait,
thought.
Wait,
why I
wait,
think
wait.
Maybe it's just a kid's movie.
You're saying, but...
No,
Matthew, come on.
But you're saying it should still make sense. You should still know where the bad guy at the end comes from.
Let's take a
you
quick pause. Still,
yeah.
Matthew, explain the fairies flying around.
What fairies?
The purple, it's
the
not even
purple
fairies.
Fucking
it's purple
sparkles flying around.
Maybe they're aborted fetuses that got down into the fucking...
But if you were going to do that, is that how you would portray that?
But, you know, so they say several times throughout the movie, it's magic. There's magic. Like, how do you travel? Don't tell me there's an airport here. No,
dude,
kid,
it is one
magic.
Of the most pathetic executions of an idea I've seen
in film history. It's a fucking cop out that it's just all magic and you can do whatever, but it's like, okay, it's magic.
No,
so
I'm not talking about the idea. I'm talking about their visual motif is to just keep doing this? Like, because they know that it looks like shit. They know the thing doesn't feel magical. They know the lighting sucks. They know that the atmosphere sucks.
The lighting they sucks know, because if it's too bright, then they die.
They're watching the dailies and the fucking distributors like, fucking add something to this. I don't care what it is. Like, fucking do something.
The distributor's like, please, it's just pallets, man. You got to do something.
You got to
like,
put something.
Daniel Stern is like,
sir, I did work on the special effects for Predator. He's like, come up with some digital trickery. Do something. And he's like, this is what I got.
What if like the visual effects he did on Predator was like the fucking lobster suit that they wound up not using?
Totally.
Probably. What if they're like the fucking on the first day they're like, you know what we need, dude? We really need Daniel Stern to slap Fred Savage's leg.
And see, not only once,
but fucking slap. Twice. Shit slaps.
I missed the slaps because I was just so disturbed by just the energy.
You were delighted.
The energy between them, like Fred Savage's reactions, like it honestly felt like the lead up to like a sex scene.
Like flirting.
Like, yeah, like they were going to start like, cause then they started tickling. So then one of them was going to tackle the other. And then they were going to have that awkward moment where they stare into each other's eyes and then they kiss and then they fuck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, You've seen it in a thousand.
Therefore, I did not like this.
A thousand documentaries.
Yeah.
I did not think this movie was delightful.
That part was not so delightful.
Uh-huh.
That part was a little...
That part gotcha, huh?
It's fucking pedophilia. And they're like, yeah, that was improvised. And it's like, and you decided...
To leave it in.
Daniel Stern just randomly tickling a 13-year-old boy was good for your movie.
It was improvised by fucking Woody Allen.
Like, here, just roll. Let me see what you got. Let me see what you can do.
I mean, I guess maybe it felt... Father, son, a little bit.
What would happen if the tour you would, there were no cameras here? What would happen?
I'd just slap the shit out of Fred Savage. Twice.
Can you just imagine? He's just like, shut up, bitch.
Well, some of the stuff is crazy because like,
yeah. I bet if Corey Feldman was here, he'd be like, I fucking told you. This is what I've been fucking saying.
I don't own a 13-year-old yet. I own a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Oh. If you add them together, they're almost 13.
Yeah, they're almost 13.
You don't own them.
No, I do.
I would like you to know that.
I own them.
Okay.
You clearly don't have kids.
I own them on a daily basis, motherfucker.
No, I own these bitches.
No. So... Like as a father, I'm just like who the fuck thought any of this shit was like, okay, so Daniel Stern's gonna back out of his fucking driveway and run over the kid's bike and then be like pissed off at the kid for it. Like, motherfucker, be a grown up.
He already grounded him earlier that morning. Like, he's like, 2 weeks grounded, 2 weeks no TV. For the peanut butter and onion sandwich. Well, then
he
gives him
this long list later on of shit he has to do.
Dude.
It's like, fuck, dude.
Dude, that was Daniel Stern getting out of Saturday Chores. He was so stoked.
The dad goes, and you're going to clean the garage. And then you're going to clean the basement.
You can't make a fucking 12-year-old clean a garage.
Exactly. And then he's like... And then you can forget about your allowance. And like, you know, he just closed that bedroom door and he's like, oh, fuck yeah.
So here's the thing. As like a person who has like done like a lot of DIY projects in a home, and I don't claim to be an expert on any of them. But so they buy this house that is like supposedly their dream house. They're like, oh, this is our dream house. And the fucking wife... And the goddamn husband freak out about a goddamn faucet leaking. And I'm like, bro,
there was other stuff wrong with the house. Like, he tried to open the window earlier and he couldn't get it.
Their whole kitchen is exposed fucking electrical wires. Maybe you fucked up buying this fucking shitty house.
Well, see, I feel like they bought the house because like they had to, like they probably had financial problems and then they had to move. And that's this whole argument.
Daniel
There's marital
Stern's
problems.
Whole fucking thing was like, well, you wanted this house. You wanted to have more land. So I feel like they got into more financial trouble because this shitty fucking marriage causes them to do these stupid ass things.
All his wife wants is dick and money.
Well, I don't blame her. Look who she's living with.
Brett wants the same thing.
I want
You want some of that Daniel Stern?
I want some of that Stern. I liked his clothes too. I was watching this and I know it sounds weird, but it's like no one actually wears these clothes. Like that tie with those suspenders, it was like they had fucking, this is all we got in wardrobe. You're going to have to make it work. It was
like, what the fuck, dude? What do we have left over from Beetlejuice? The shitty suit.
And then his hair was like slick back. You remember that? Did you see that?
Yeah, of course.
It was like, this is weird. This whole fucking thing is weird. And why did it start off with like this black and white scene? Do you remember that?
Who the fuck knows?
The black and white scene?
Yeah. The opening shot is a black and white scene after the title card. By the way, though, the title card, very well done.
That's the only thing we have.
It's in purple and the monster letters come out from behind the little, and then it goes into blue and red, which is, as we know, what purple is. Right. So it goes from purple then to blue and red. Mm-hmm. And when you mix the two, that creates, it was great. That was a great title card. Pixar fucking was like, hey, we're going to use shit like that.
We've got two ideas from this movie, the title card and the idea. That's it.
The title card and the everything else.
Yeah. Except for we did it better.
But then these motherfuckers, they said jokes on you and wrote Aladdin and Pirates of the Caribbean and Shrek.
There were some adult jokes in here too. Like,
well, they were.
It's funny because
cutting their teeth or something.
When they came through, I didn't know these guys wrote Shrek, and I remember thinking like, "Oh, that's funny," because like that's
a little monsters roll through.
That's kind of like a Shrek thing, you know, where it's like that's the little. This is the kids' movie, and that's the joke for the parents is thrown in. There was a joke about hard-ons in there, like something about erections. I don't remember what the joke actually was.
Right. Well, of course there was, because look at this fucking movie. Because
it's a movie for kids, so pee-pee poo-poo jokes.
No, those hard-on jokes are not pee-pee poo-poo jokes, especially when you get Fred Savage about to get, hate-fucked on the bed by his father.
There was nothing hateful about that. He was going to tickle-fuck him. That was going to be a struggle-fuck for sure.
Oh, man. I actually got a kind of bad vibe from this movie. I mean, legitimately.
I mean,
boy thing, it's like, oh, so this is, this boy is like this deep aspect, because I started seeing it like, okay, this is inside his subconscious and this is his repressed fucking inner child. This shadow archetype, who the fuck is this kid? Right? But dude, like, again, it's the third time Do you have any theories who Boy is?
Fuck.
And his name is Boy.
See, so that's...
part where the movie stops making sense.
No, oh my God, okay.
I mean, just theories.
So, I'm pulling this completely out of my ass.
Oh, here we go.
Right now.
Yes, please do.
I'm glad I asked.
If I had to give a theory as to who Boy is, he's the original monster. He's like the Adam for monsters.
Oh, all right. So it is the archetypal shadow or...
He's like the one, and he's got like his right-hand man, you know.
He's
like,
the Neo.
Yeah, you know, so he could kind of be like even Satan.
The
like
Lightbringer.
He could kind of be like the one who the Morning Star. He's the first to rebel. He's the first that was like, I don't want your, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
This
is clearly the inspiration for Rage Against the Machine as its entirety.
Well, Zach De La Roca did say it was his favorite movie.
Yeah, he did. That and Mac and Me.
Mac and Me and Little Monster. That's a
doubleheader right there.
That's a doubleheader.
My guess is either he's kind of like the first boy to rebel.
Boy.
And he kind of got all these other followers. So like the devil, you know, he presents it as this great thing, you know, where you can enjoy yourself, but fully like you're going to go down there and eventually you're going to be one of his minions. So that if I had to posit a guess as to who Boy is, it would either be first Adam or
either way we're talking like
the devil,
a thematic thing. It's symbolic.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine he's gotta be like somebody of significance. Cause if he's just some fucking random dude and he's just like, oh no, I'm just the boss of this area. Like, you know, kind of doesn't make any sense, but
yeah.
All right. Well, that's Little Monsters. I don't go watch, go watch
Netflix. Let me ask you a question on a scale of 5 stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many would you give this film?
1.5.
Really?
Yeah, it's not good.
I'd give it 0.
Okay, you're far more.
I think. Wait, so who do you think? I give it half star because the idea, the premise is not bad.
Who do you think Boy is?
That's what I said. I thought he was kind of like some shadow archetype. Like, but I'm looking at it like again. This is a manifestation of the psyche. Also, anytime I run into the underworld. The underworld is the subconscious, like, so it's like, and the monsters are like the stuff, it's the stuff that you are repressed and you can't do in society and all that shit.
Ooh, we didn't even talk about Fred Savage sleep creeping on that girl.
Whoa, wait a minute.
I mean,
what's there to talk about in this movie that's full of problematic sexual improprieties and kids crawling out of a homeless dude's ass? Dude, I'm serious though. I know I didn't show that directly.
His ass.
What? That ass.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a great ass.
What next week though, as we all
we're talking about Gojira
versus King Shlong.
King Shlong.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
To see a movie in the theater.
Yeah. And it's written by the same people who wrote this, which is really fucking strange how that works.
I mean, when you say that doesn't bode well for Godzilla vs. Kong, but then when you
It does.
When you say Godzilla vs. Kong was made by the same or written by the same people who wrote Shrek.
And that's
pretty cooler.
I just think it's fucking really uncanny that this was the movie we decided to do randomly before Shlong.
I'm really surprised you guys didn't like it, like, at all. Like, even for you having kids, like, you couldn't see, like, you know, I could really see this as something that my kids would really enjoy, and here's why.
I liked watching, because I like watching movies, and I liked it, how much time has gone. Like, the nostalgia, looking at the Nikes and the fucking, but that's the thing, I'm looking for the color scheme, like, the poster that they have with all that neon shit, nowhere to be found. None of that shit's in there. Like,
some of the film is literally so dark it's unwatchable.
Yeah, hence throw me the fucking purple graphic of the fairy dust. Like, you got to put something in here that's cinematic, because none of this is.
And like the big boy reveal, you're like,
we're back to the boy. We seem to be a big fan of that dude. But
I'd do the boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some people that, obviously, a lot of people have decided to love this movie.
I wish Chris was here, because Chris would not
fuck
stand
those people. You're dumb.
That's right.
That's what I say about you.
We should still do that fucking Hocus Pocus movie one of these days.
Hocus Pocus?
Didn't we do Hocus Pocus?
No,
we did not.
We didn't. We were going to, and then it got canceled at the last second. And yeah. I was really distraught.
I was really mad.
Because I wanted to fucking trash.
All right, well, that's episode 305. 305? Yeah. As you've labeled them now?
Yeah.
Cool. Next week, we're talking about King Shlong versus Gojira. That's right. That'll be pretty fun. Probably. Hopefully. Maybe.
The Adam Wingard redemption arc.
Or not.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I have to tweet Adam again. All
right, idiots. Well, that's it. 305 in the bag. This is Jorge signing the fuck out.
This is Red.
This is Matt.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.